There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Look at that before you. Look at that one that's before you. Mm-hmm. And you see they got charging in there for winching, this, that, and other that's not legal. Let me just finish. If the police pull me over and I have marijuana in my car, it matters not about how much other marijuana I have stashed somewhere. They're going to arrest me for what's in the car. If they find something else, they're going to add that to it. So we don't need to keep on investigating. We got a smoking gun in our hand.
Or a smoking something. No truer words have ever been spoken. Councilman Fred Richardson, thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. What did he say? What? At 12:07 FM Talk 106.5. It is Midday Mobile, isn't it? Should we do this? Yeah, Midday Mobile on a Tuesday, Mobile City Council meeting, talking about. I thought the discussion was about the towing ordinance and all the surrounding questions there, but it at some point it got into a discussion of marijuana in the car and how much other marijuana and how this was relevant to a discussion of ordinances about towing. Actually, they get into this more. This some high drama going on today with the Mobile City Council and this discussion of the towing. This has been an ongoing story here, and we'll dig into this some. And also another story going on with Mobile City Council today. Money for Ladd. Wait a second. I thought we. We went through all this in the past. Now a discussion of how much money might be rolled out here. We'll get into that. Also on the way, the medical marijuana discussion. If you forgot what happened back during the session, remember there were two medical marijuana bills, a House and a Senate bill, and I think it was the Senator Tim Melson. His bill, he's a physician. His bill got the most traction. It didn't. It was actually looking like this was going to be what was voted on. It got to the House where it got parked a little bit, but they didn't kill the bill in the House. They put it on ice and said, "Hey, we'll come back and readdress this medical marijuana bill." But in the meantime, we've impaneled a commission to look at medical marijuana in the state of Alabama. I thought the meetings would be pretty quick on this because you have a whole bunch of other research already done, right? We're not the first state to address this. Well, this has met somewhat of an impasse, and we'll talk about that, what might be next for this, because what they're trying to work out is some of the questions behind the scenes, so when they get into session with a medical marijuana law, that they can move forward more quickly. But, of course, that's been delayed. So, yeah, a couple of the things that are on our docket here today. Ladd People Stadium could get money today. We'll talk more about that. The towing companies in the city of Mobile and the oration of Councilman Fred Richardson about marijuana in the car being like an ordinance about towing. We'll try to put all that stuff together. Also coming up today, your chance to ask the sheriff. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran will join us in hour number two of the show, plus a special guest. You know those tents that you see on the sidelines, like when you first saw them at the University of Alabama, but you see them everywhere now, that, like the medical tents where they, you know, it's like, I'm kind of jealous as a camping guy that likes gadget, the way they flip up and flip down, flip over the person, then they can come out and they flip. Well, there's some of those coming to high school football here in our area, and a donation made by a local law firm. We're going to talk about them and these tents in the second hour of the show as well. So lots to do. Hopefully John Sharp, if we can get him. John was thought he was going to be done city counseling by this point, but obviously with all the chat going on with the towing and parking and or towing ordinance and all that kind of stuff, he may be delayed a little bit, but we'll try to get to him coming up this hour. Also, some discussion about what happened in Fairhope yesterday. Great story from Gabe Tynes over at LanyapMobile.com. We'll get into that as well. So lots to do, and of course, time to hear from you. Text line, phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Yes, there's a... No, they're not towing. Somebody asked, are they towing? No, they're not towing marijuana. Here, let's play. Okay, I want to put this back into context because I'd like to, even though putting this quote from Councilman Richardson and the person he's talking to in context may not help very much, but it's in a discussion about the ordinances on towing in the city, all right?
Good. We don't need but one violation to suspend them.
Them for wrongdoing. Okay, we get that. We start investigating that. Oh, you haven't done anything on that. Well, we haven't had the opportunity to finish the investigation because a lot of times we have to get those documents. We're not only just getting documents from the record companies, we're also having to get documents from insurance companies. None of the branches are headquartered here, so you have to go through their process to get these documents. But I will assure you that the police chief is taking this matter seriously, and we're treating everybody equally as we did the others. We're doing our investigation, we're doing due diligence, and we're taking action.
Intention. Look at that before you. Mm-hmm. Look at that one that's before you. Mm-hmm. And you see they got charging in there for winching, this, that, and the other that's not legal. Let me just finish. If the police pull me over, and I have marijuana in my car, it matters not about how much other marijuana I have stashed somewhere. They're going to arrest me for what's in the car. If they find something else, they're going to add that to it. So we don't need to keep on investigating. We got a smoking gun in our hand. If the insurance just got some more information, that's good. We don't need but one violation to suspend them. We don't need no six violations. We got violations. We got in our hands where they violated. We don't need to wait to see is it anymore out there.
See, don't you understand all that? So that's why I put it in context. Because once you put something in context, don't you agree, Dalton, then it makes a lot more sense when you put it in context. Well, okay. All right, we'll try to flesh that out. Yeah, seven, and the other part of city council meeting, several things today, but one of them, $750,000 for Ladd People Stadium. Similar to what the numbers were talked about last year when we discussed this, wasn't it? All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So the part I was talking about is this part. We lost the audio from that. Thought we might have that. Can we go back to the cut? This is the cut I'm talking about. This part right here.
Look at that one before you. Mm-hmm. And you see they got charging in there for winching, this, that, and the other that's not legal. Let me just finish. If the police pull me over, and I have marijuana in my car.
Mm-hmm.
It matters not about how much other marijuana I have.
What happened to the member
somewhere.
Of the county commission when that happened?
They're going to arrest me for what's in the car.
That's right.
If they find something else, they're going to add that to it.
Okay, I'm going to use that next time I have some kind of long-form question. Somebody said, well, what do you think about the realpolitik, geopolitical influence of Kurdistan on what's happening in sub-Saharan trade between people in the Sudanese and people in Namibia? I'll say, well, in fact, it's if I got caught with marijuana in my car, it wouldn't matter how much marijuana. Dalton, we could use that for all kind of stuff. It's an excellent, excellent excuse, kind of, for stuff. All right, welcome back. It is Midday Mobile. And this is just going off of some of what's been happening at today's Mobile City Council meeting. Okay, that was this extended discussion the issues with tow trucks in the city of Mobile and complaints out there around what people are being charged. All right, so that's that discussion is going on. In addition, our buddy John Sharp at AL.com writes, Ladd People Stadium could get up to $750,000. He was writing this yesterday, today, during the Mobile City Council meeting. Less than 2 weeks after a shooting inside the stadium led to addition of metal detectors. Okay. City Council agenda today includes a transfer of general fund money to the city's capital account to pay for up to $550,000 worth of improvements to the aging stadium south of downtown Mobile. Said some of that money could be applied towards upgrading security inside the 70-year-old stadium, according to Mobile City Council Vice President, I would say the real president of the City Council, LaVon Manzi. I know there's disagreement there, but I'll call him President LaVon Manzi. Manzi said there will be a litany of things recommended. He acknowledged that the city and Mobile Public Schools, along with others who utilize the football stadium, want to assure the citizens and tourists that their experience at Ladd will be a safe one. Vic Knight. Hey, Vic, we need to get Vic on the show. Vic Knight, general manager at the stadium, said there hasn't been any security-related projects identified, but he said the money could be used for that. He said, we're in the initial stages of security protocols. The school system brought out metal detectors for Friday's football game, and if we determine we need additional infrastructure for that, those funds can be used for that as well, end quote. Security in and around the venue has been a topic of discussion since 17-year-old D'Angelo Parnell shot and injured 9 people within the stadium's concourse at the conclusion of the August 30th football game between LaFleur and Williamson. Parnell was a bystander during an altercation between 2 men. He has since been charged with 9 counts of attempted murder. Mobile County Public Schools last week purchased 20 new metal detectors at a cost of around $100,000. 4 of them were added to Ladd People Stadium and were used for the first time during Friday's game between Clark County and Williamson. Manzi said he was absolutely pleased by how the security was handled. He said, my thoughts and prayers are still for all those who were impacted by the August 30th shooting, but the result will be a safer and more orderly experience at Ladd People Stadium. Okay. Now, the city, John goes on to write this, the city is also looking to spend $200,000 for the construction of a new walking trail around the perimeter of the stadium's property. Is that what walking trails go for per mile? It says the new walking trail would be approximately 1 mile, open to the public, and utilized by people who already walk and jog around the property on a daily basis. Quote, through an extensive door-to-door survey of the neighborhoods around Ladd People Stadium in 2018, we learned that neighbors wanted a walking and fitness trail, said Jen Zogby, spokeswoman to Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. Given this interest, the 2019 budget includes the $750,000 request. Council agenda will include an $8,000 contract with Mobile-based Watkins AC Strunk Design, Inc. to provide design consultant work for the trail project. Manzi says, we want to build something that is structured and nice and will be one of the better walking trails in the city. How about that? $750,000 budget addition comes after the dispute. Here we go. This takes it back to last year. Dispute between the Stimson administration and the council over budget appropriation for the money. The council late last year advocated moving $750,000 from legal liability funding to pay for the stadium work, but the administration objected over the concerns about how the money was being conveyed through the fiscal year 2019 budget. That budget, of course, expires at the end of this month. So there it is, $750,000. Now, remember all the hubbub around whether money would be given from the city to South, right, to do stadium work there, and in exchange, South would give money back through this three-card Bonnie Ponzi scheme thing that ended up being explained to me, but it was, I don't think, very well explained at the time. This scheme that was going to move money out to South, and then South was going to move money back to the city for work on maybe a new Ladd Peoples. Well, Ladd Peoples is now getting $750,000, but how much of this is in metal detectors or infrastructure to house those metal detectors, and how much will go into all the other things that need to be done. And it is interesting to me that after all the years of talking about this during school shootings elsewhere, we asked about the idea of maybe being able to get, you know, metal detectors and magnetometers, whatever, at schools, told it wasn't in the budget, wasn't in the budget, wasn't in the budget, right? Couldn't afford that, can't do that. Then all of a sudden it gets done. It gets done when there's a shooting. But it gets done where? Not at the school. No, it's done at the that lad Peebles. All right. People are asking me the context of Councilman Fred Richardson talking about the bear. He was using, and Supermom, if one asking this question, one of a couple, Supermom, you're good company there. I think we can go back and listen to this again. I think Councilman Richardson was using this as a way to explain it doesn't matter if you have, because they were talking about violations of an ordinance and kind of a piling on mentality. And he's saying if he gets pulled over, I don't know why he chose to use the analogy of getting pulled over with marijuana in his car. That's, I don't think, an issue for City Council Member Fred Richardson. It was for County Commissioner back in the day, but not for City Council. So he's saying that if he has a little, it doesn't matter if he has a bunch more marijuana elsewhere, he's still in trouble for the initial marijuana. I think that's... Here's the takeaway. I'll roll it again. Now, understand this audio that we get from the Mobile City Council meetings could be better recorded with... If the Mr. Microphone and recorder that you were given for your 11th birthday is still alive somewhere in an attic with the same tape in it, we could probably get a better audio quality out of that. But let's roll this audio in the digital age coming from the city council meeting. Here it is. Let's set it up. We'll go to the, like, there's a question, and then Councilman Richardson reacting to that.
Our intention. Look at that before you. Look at that one that's before you. Mm-hmm. And you see they got charging in there for winching, this, that, and other that's not legal. Let me just finish. If the police pull me over and I have marijuana in my car, it matters not about how much other marijuana I have stashed somewhere. They're going to arrest me for what's in the car. If they find something else, they're going to add that to it. So we don't need to keep on investigating. We got a smoking gun in our hand. If the insurance company's got some more information, that's good. We don't need but one violation to suspend them. We don't need no six violations. We got violations. We got in our hands where they violated. We don't need to wait to see is it any more out there. We can take action on what's before us.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You see how clear that is now, Supermom? How would you even be confused about that? How would that... It seems to make complete sense. What? I don't know. It made sense to me. I completely understand it. Just don't ask me to define that. And speaking of marijuana, too, let me add this before we head to the bottom of the hour news and Dr. Bill's forecast, and then we're coming right back. This group that was impaneled back during session this year in Montgomery, remember there was medical marijuana bills that came up, and the Senate bill was the one that really had the traction, moved the House. It was kind of shut down there in committee, but they did make a deal that they would have a commission look at this. Mike Kaysen's story from AL.com says, a sharp disagreement broke out today, which was yesterday, at the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission during a meeting that also included testimony from four people about how medical marijuana relieved crippling pain and symptoms for them or their relatives. The legislature set up the commission to study whether Alabama should join 34 states in legalizing medical marijuana. The group met for the second time at the State House. Commission member Stephen Taylor, a child and adolescent psychiatrist and addiction psychiatrist, said marijuana is not a medicine and that calling it a medicine will lead more young people to use it with harmful effects. A quote here, he says, if it hasn't been validated as medicine, we shouldn't be calling it medical marijuana or medical cannabis. And the idea that we would just put something out there and call it medicine for the people of our state to use when it really isn't a legitimate medicine, that concerns me. That means we're taking a chance at causing more harm than good, and that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Taylor pointed out the U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, issued an advisory back in August, you remember that, about the dangers of marijuana use by teens and pregnant women and misperceptions about the safety of marijuana. Taylor's comments brought a response from Senator Tim Melson. Hopefully, by the way, Tim was fishing today, so he's not on. But hopefully when he gets back, I think he's in the Gulf fishing. When he gets back, we'll have him on the show this week. Because he commented back to what was said here. He said, well, I'll tell you what. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you what Tim Melson said in this committee meeting. And then people are going to take their guesses at what Councilman Fred Richardson meant. We'll read some of those texts, too, when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and okay, well, we're going to move that segment on. It is a constant evolving show. In other words, things are changing on the fly. Constantly calling the audible here at the control center, at the board, at the on the ones and twos here at FM Talk 106.5. It's okay. It's okay. We can handle it. We can handle it. We roll with it, whatever kind of punches are thrown. Until we don't. So we're good right now. I want to finish out the medical marijuana thing. I think this is interesting, and hopefully, I have been texting back and forth with Senator Tim Melson. Hopefully, we will get him on the show. If not tomorrow, maybe Thursday, I'll promote it. He's an interesting guy. He's been one of the spearheads, too, on the medical marijuana push in the state of Alabama. So to go back, if you're just visiting, just drop it into the show. We're talking about yesterday's meeting of this medical marijuana commission. Now, what happened is there was a bill. It was Senator Melson's bill in the Senate and got some traction, moved to the House, was pretty much put on ice in the House during session this last year. Okay, wasn't going anywhere, except that they made a deal and they said, okay, I'll tell you what, we won't deal with this year. We're not going to say no. What we're going to do is we're going to table this, and then we're going to go forward and have this commission talk about medical marijuana, and then maybe answer some of the questions and come back with the legislation either in this session or the session to follow. Now, I don't know if it'll be the 2020, because they said it could be 2020 or 2021. There are people hoping it's 2020. But we'll see what happens. So they were having their second meeting of this commission. And at first, this commission member, Stephen Taylor, the child and adolescent psychiatrist, basically took umbrage with the fact that they were using the name medical marijuana. He was saying that, hey, you know, that's a misnomer. And he went through the things that were bad about using the term medical marijuana. All right. So he says that. Then Senator Tim Melson, who hopefully we'll talk to this year, who is himself a physician, a anesthesiologist, medical researcher, said there are studies showing medical marijuana can help some patients. That's why it's called medicine or not. He said, Melson said, what would you like to call it? Because I can show you studies where it helps. So let's come up with some name that makes everyone happy, because a name is a name. It doesn't really matter. It's the results and studies that show that it's been effective. He goes on to say, so I don't care what we call it, but I'm going to tell you what that I want to find out a way to get people who need it, get it to them, and do it in a responsible way. Now, yesterday's meeting drew a crowd that filled one of the larger committee rooms at the State House. Commission included representatives from the fields of medicine, law enforcement, drug addiction treatment, agriculture, pharmacy, and others, and it will make a recommendation to the legislature. So earlier this year, Senate passed Melson's bill to legalize medical marijuana to relieve symptoms for certain conditions. The bill met opposition in the House, what we were talking about earlier. Lawmakers changed it to create the study commission. And then they go through in this story, Mike Kaysen's story, of individuals who have had success with using medical marijuana. Alice Slocum out of Alexander City, told the commission about her son, James Lovejoy, 37, who suffers from congenital rheumatic spinal condition that causes extreme pain. Says there's no cure. There's no conventional treatment that really helped him at all. The only option was to give him a strong addictive painkiller, which he would not take. Slocum said her son's condition worsened after he graduated from Georgia Tech and began his career as a CPA. Said it reached a point where he worked flat on his back, and goes through this story, but what they get to is using medical marijuana, that he has had success in dealing with this. It says he can shovel snow because he lives in Denver now. He can lift a 100-pound dog, even play golf. It goes through these stories of how it affects families. I've been one to say this, and I was saying this when CBD was the issue 7-8 years ago, right? And it was UAB, believe it or not, right here in the state of Alabama, one of the leading researchers on the benefit of CBD. And it started off with what it could do for children with epilepsy. And I read those studies. I dug into it back then. And that's why I was day in and day out saying the people in the legislature that were fighting against this were wrong. And now look where we are with this. Now, do I believe that there's no link between medical marijuana and then eventually states passing laws for recreational marijuana? That would be inaccurate. That would be inaccurate, because that has been the story in a lot of states. Not all of them, but a lot of states have done. They moved from no marijuana to medical marijuana to recreational. But some states have stopped at medical marijuana. Now, you can argue that some states have medical marijuana. You have to get a card, have a physician prescribe it, and you can get any prescription. I mean, you can get any physician, you know, you can find a physician in the state to prescribe it for whatever condition. What was the old joke? Wasn't it Tommy Chong? Yeah, I think it was Tommy Chong said some joke that he went in when California just had medical marijuana. And he said, yeah, man, I got a prescription for medical marijuana. And the interviewer was asking him, so what condition? He said, well, I went to the doctor and said I had anxiety. And the doctor said, about what? And Tommy Chong said, about not having any weed that they then prescribed him the thing. So with that being said, once again, make sure you look at things accurately. So there is a chance you get a medical marijuana law passed. It gets abused. It's a transition into recreational. But at the same time, how many cases have you heard about where people have success treating a variety of issues? This idea that it's a panacea, that it fixes everything, I don't buy it. It hasn't been proven to me yet that it's this thing that does everything. But for certain conditions, listen to the testimony of people. And I'm not talking about people that are, you know, fit some stereotype of somebody who's trying to get high. I'm talking about people have real conditions and said they have found real relief from using this medical marijuana. So if in a world where we can prescribe stuff that are as medicines that come from heavier narcotics than marijuana, why wouldn't we at least look at this? And so this is where the state is right now. They're looking at this in a commission and see what happened. But remember, the bill, Senator Melson's bill, passed in the Senate. It went to the House, which is odd. Usually things come out of the House and go to the Senate and then don't go anywhere. But in this case, it was a situation where it came out of the Senate, went to the House, but they didn't actually kill the bill. Believe it or not, they can, in this case, study it and then come back and address it in this coming session. All right. So listen, here's some text here, and we'll get some calls about this. All right, this text, believe it or not, with all the broken bones that I have, my pain management doctor told me to move to a state where I could smoke marijuana. Wow. So the prescription from your physician was to move to a state where you could get it. How about this one? Bob says, as a 23-year cancer survivor, good for you, Bob. That's awesome. I can vouch for it being medicine. I used it through chemotherapy and radiation treatments, and I have not used it since. All right, so he used it as a medicine when he needed it, and he has not used it since. They're looking at some other people who have had experiences with this. I can tell you what, we'll grab a call, Let's grab a call before we go to the break, and then we'll go to the break a little bit late because Marty is in Mobile. We'll get Marty's call first. Hey, Marty.
John, how are you this morning?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, being from a state that has just recently, in the last year or so, passed medical marijuana, I'm from Oklahoma. I've been here for 38 years. But anyway, a couple of things about the medical marijuana thing in Oklahoma. First, the monies that are being generated, the tax revenue and so forth, the state of Oklahoma has not received one dime of state money or of tax money. They can't put it in a federal bank because the feds actually call it dirty money.
Right. Well, I know that that's true for recreational. Is that true for medical as well?
For medical as well. Okay. Not one dime has been paid into the state of Oklahoma's treasury or tax thing.
I would argue if it's medicine, they don't need to get taxes.
I've got a classmate that has got his commercial grower's license. And I asked him about it a couple of weeks ago when I was home, and he said, yeah, I can't put money in the bank either. Nobody can put the marijuana money in the bank.
So the medical side, that's interesting, because I mean, I've been reporting on for a long time that the recreational side, yeah, that those guys out in Colorado, for example, have to have like armed guards and carriers and cars and vaults full of cash because they can't put it in the bank. But the same thing's true for the medical side.
That is absolutely correct. Until the feds come on board, that money... My buddy, who is making or receiving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars per month for selling to the dispensaries, and the dispensaries aren't able to put their money in the banks either. I said, "So what do you do, Bobby?" And he said, "Well, be quite honest, I just hide it. It's going to come to where at some point, this money has to go somewhere, so I just put it in a safe and in a secure location, and that's what I do." So it's kind of crazy that nobody has really benefited from the financial side of it. And that's all we have to admit it. That's the real reason that the state of Oklahoma or Colorado or all these
other... On the recreational side, 100%. You know, you'll have politicians that at one point say, this substance is the worst substance I've ever known, and I will fight again. How much money are we going to get in revenue? I think it is the right of the people to be able to have the substance.
That's classic. Thank you for the time,
Hey,
Tom.
No problem, Marty. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. But this is the thing. If you want to be a fair, have a fair and honest discussion of this, and I am a proponent of medical marijuana, okay? If you pretend like there's not abuse of medical marijuana to get it into recreational, you're not being honest. If you're saying that in some states it has not been used as a stepping stone to recreational, you're not being honest. But if you say that there's nobody that's getting relief from this stuff, you haven't watched the news accounts I have and read the stories I have. There are people who get real results with this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. By the way, interviewed yesterday with State Senator Chris Elliott, talking about getting booted from the ATRIP 2 committee. That podcast is waiting for you. You can go a couple different ways. Go to FMTalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast. Go in there and go Midday Mobile, Monday, hour number one, and you can get it there. Or you could subscribe at iTunes if you're an Apple person, or if you're an old stick-in-the-mud Android user like me with the Samsung Galaxy. You could go to Stitcher, like someone who stitches. That's the app I use. It's really good. You can subscribe for the podcast there. Also, if you're ever on Spotify listening to you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd live at Roseland or something cool like that, you can also intersperse our podcasts. They're available on Spotify and TuneIn Radio, the app you use to listen to us on your smartphone anytime. They've got our podcast too, so go check it out. All right, let me say hello, and y'all say hello to my buddy John Sharp with AL.com, who just got out of the fiery meeting of the Mobile City Council. God bless you, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good. I do want to talk to you about this Bayfest thing, but can you give us like a one-minute version of, I was just in a strange way like looking at a wreck on the Bayway, focused on this discussion of the towing companies and then Councilman Richardson saying it was like if he had marijuana in his car. Can you, I had trouble understanding all that going on.
Well, you know, I'll give you the quick down and dirty of what happened, because we have another reporter, Chris Harris, has been doing a good job tracking this issue, and his stories are up on AL.com. He was there today following in, the blow-by-blow on this. I've kind of picked up on it here and there, but the down and dirty is that, you know, there's been five companies that were suspended from you know, the city towing list, meaning, you know, it really impacted their ability to get work in the city of Mobile. And so this has been an ongoing concern for several months now. Well, those suspensions have been lifted, and I believe around 2 o'clock today there is going to be a Mobile City Council Public Safety Committee meeting, in which or Public Service Committee meeting, in which a revised ordinance will be discussed, in which you know, I think the towing industry is definitely interested in participating in, it appears that the suspensions that have been an issue have been lifted for the time being, and you know, this is going to give the city council time to dive into their ordinance and look at other ordinances in the state and perhaps craft something a little bit more modernized. And my understanding is the last time the ordinance was changed was in either the late 80s or early 90s, so it's
1880s or 1980s?
No, not that far back.
But, okay. I was just trying to figure it out, because I thought I understood the story, and then responses from different members of the city council by the end of their responses, so I said, oh my gosh, what's happening here? I was very confused.
It was getting colorful. I do think, you know, the bottom line with Councilman Richardson's comments, if I can paraphrase for him, is basically, all tow companies should be treated equally, and he felt that some of them were being unfairly singled out when, you know, some of these tow companies were going back and conducting their own investigations to find dirt on other tow companies that, you know, they were violating the ordinance, so how come they're getting punished and we're not, and that sort of thing. And it seemed like the whole issue is someone getting spiraling out of control.
Sounds like a reality show waiting to get made. All right, I want to jump to the subject you're mentioning, and there could be a story people can check out at AL.com, because yesterday I was reporting that the 1065 Music Festival is taking a hiatus this year. They're not doing it. And then you say discussions of Bayfest coming back. What gives?
Well, yeah, so over the weekend I talked to Councilman Manzi and Vice President Council Member Manzi. He told me that, and he represents the downtown area, that he really wants to see, you know, he was pretty forceful about it, he wants to see a music festival downtown, and, you know, this is the opportunity that we're in the budget season, and he's going to look at the budget and look for ways to amend it in order to put the seed money in there, and talking about an appropriation similar to what the city had given Bayfest in the past, which, you know, kind of ranged anywhere from $225,000 to over $300,000. And he wants to see something on that type of caliber. I did talk to George Talbot, the mayor's spokesman, earlier this morning, and he'd indicated that yesterday, I guess, the mayor's office, the mayor's administration, was in conversations about some sort of festival going on the first weekend of October this year still. So while 1065 is canceled, I think there's interest on continuing on with something. We just don't know what that, it's too early to tell what that would look like. So while 1065 is no longer part of the equation for this year, there is always that potential that something could pop up organically for the first weekend of October, which would allow it, I guess it would be the 26 years running now where we've had something that weekend downtown Mobile, and I think that's kind of the interest from the city enabled to do that. But now
would
going
the city
forward,
be, would the city be propping up? Quick question: would the city be putting some kind of money into what would happen this year? Would they be funding it?
That seemed to be a little vague. As again, it seemed to be a little early on that. I asked George specifically, are we looking at resources being spent out of the city budget? And he said, well, we really don't know yet. We got to kind of see what this all looks like still. While we don't have much time to really plan for something, it does seem like something might be in the works. What that looks like, whether or not it's a little art festival or art walk type of an event or a band somewhere on the downtown strip, we don't know yet. It's still too early to tell. I did talk to the Downtown Mobile Alliance. They've indicated they're going to have a band that Thursday before that first weekend in October, and they felt like that was a good way to kick off whatever might be held downtown. So it seems like it's still, I think the announcement that 1065 is being canceled for this year caught the mayor's office maybe a little bit by surprise. They found out about it on Friday. And so I think there's now a little bit of a scramble to try and find something else to go on that first weekend. So we don't have, just nothing going on for the first time in, it's been over, 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is if the council would move money for Bayfest, because, Mayor Cindy Stimson came in and cut back these performance contracts big time for the city. I mean, that was one of the things he came in and did. And so this would be, would it be a performance contract? Would it be money out of the discretionary budget of the council members? Where does the cash come from?
Yeah, and that's, Councilman Manzi said today he wanted all budget amendments in by Thursday. The budget has to be approved by the end of the month. I think the council's getting ready to look at these amendments and look for places, whether or not they have support or not on it. Councilman Manzi says he has at least 3 votes on the council to support an budget amendment to add some sort of fall event into the budget, whether or not it's going to be called Bayfest. We don't know yet, but he said, that's on the table to bring back Bayfest. Councilman Joel Days indicated that, hey, if you're going to put money into the budget, you need to find somewhere to take it out. And Councilman Manzi said, well, that's part of the process. So if you're going to put in an extra $300,000, or $200,000, or however that much that might be for a fall festival downtown, that there'd have to be somewhere else in the budget to remove that. So we'll wait and see where that comes from. Councilman Manzi did not indicate where he would, like to cut in order to make a Bayfest redo part of the 2020 budget.
All right. Read more on this, of course, over at AL.com. You can also follow my friend John Sharp over at Twitter. What's your handle there?
Yeah, at John Sharp 99.
And by the way, we're in a 4-way tie right now in the college pick'em, and
I've had a couple soft weeks, but I'm feeling confident about this week. So
I'm riding high with my success, and my buddy John Sharp's like, yeah, I've had some down weeks. In other words, he's fallen down to my level. Get ready, man. You're going to be looking at my backside. I'm taking off this week, okay? Leaving you in the dust.
I'm re-looking at my strategy. I've been putting my picks in way too early in the week, so I don't forget towards the end of the week, but I'm going to be focused this week and ready, and I'll own it, whatever I get point-wise this week.
All right. It's going down that way. John Sharp, thank you, man.